the evening, Tan fans and others, and welcome to this week's Dose of Naked Football. In the studio tonight, we welcome back Tan season ticket holder Phil Pritchard.
Good evening, all.
And perched menacingly alongside Phil is our resident bird of prey, the vulture.
Good evening.
And of course, making up tonight's foursome is Those Were the Days, Phil Ham.
Hello.
This evening, we'll look back to Blackpool, forward to Stoke, including a slightly miffed Tony Pulis, and we'll look for opinions on how our newbies are settling in, etc. So email in, as usual, with your thoughts to studio@icrfm.co.uk, or text us on the usual number, which is 07973 851 968. Mr. Vulture, we'll start. How do you see the Blackpool game?
From my seat in the north stand, Graham, it looked a fantastic performance by the boys in blue.
And especially...
Vilicha Shumilakoski, our Macedonian friend who caught the eye and his stroke for the first goal, despite the fact that we very nearly missed it, was quite sublime.
Actually, tell us why you nearly missed it, Tim, because it's quite a
There's a story behind this. A customer of ours arrived from Hong Kong that morning, wanted to see his first game in English football.
What's his name?
Alan Lee. And he was... Alan Lee was warming up behind the stand... while the game was going on, I thought I'd lost him, so behind the stand
which,
I went.
Which one?
The Alan Lee, the Hong Kong Alan
right.
Lee.
Right.
And I went behind the stand to find Alan Lee, and as we came up into the stand after having found him again, the ball hit the back of the net, and I very nearly missed it thanks to Alan Lee.
Did you keep trying to like drag him back in again as a sort of lucky thing to try and, you know, replicate the moment?
Yeah,
the lucky sweets and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. He's actually the only person I've ever known to be thrown into Portman Road.
Really? Yeah.
And that was a fantastic strike, having seen it subsequently on the television again. And if we're talking about the new players we've had in, I think he's the pick so far. I don't know what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, fair comment, I think. He took his goal extremely well. Very much like Tommy Millie used to do, arriving late unannounced in the box, as I think Middleton said, and absolutely hammering it home in off the bottom of the bar, as all good goals are. All good goals are.
Yeah, it looked really good on the telly, didn't it? I was talking to a Macedonian guy the other day, and he said that their supporters are quite surprised at the way he's playing for Ipswich when they've seen clips, because their experience of him is that he tends to sort of sit back more than he has with us, whereas he's kind of done a lot of breaking to the edge of the area. Certainly the goal was very much like, as you say, a kind of Tommy Miller-esque kind of joining in, John Walk almost, joining in with the attack late on. Whereas they've kind of been itching for him to do that. Now, whether that's just the kind of, what the management, I think Katanec, I think, is the manager of Macedonia at the moment.
I'll take you
about your superior knowledge.
But I think it might just be the instructions he's under. But, as you say, you know, very mobile, isn't he? He gets around, he passes the ball, he knows when to put a tackle in, he knows when to hang back. He looks like a very educated sort of player. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Tommy Miller, coming on to Tommy Miller, who looks a different player with him playing next
different
year.
Class, isn't he?
He does.
He's brought out the best in Tommy, unfortunately, for Owen Garvin. He's the odd man out at the moment. So.
Which is a surprise. I think we said this last week, because old Git was saying that he'd expected Miller to sort of be the man to drop out, and I said exactly the same thing, but it does seem that Garvin at the moment has dropped out. And I mean, do you see that as a long term thing, or?
I think I'd be hopeful that Garvin's got a future at the club, certainly.
I think he has.
But I think in the short term he's going to be struggling, especially Miller in this form. He's going to be struggling to get back.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that maybe there's a slightly different kind of, I don't know, feel to the midfield now. It's got more.
Possibly. I think also that Garvin's played a lot of football, not just this season, but the last couple of seasons since he's been brought into the first team. He's played quite a lot of football, so maybe it is time for him to have a little rest, like all good managers do with their up and coming youngsters. So it could be that he's having a bit of a rest now. Only takes someone to get a knock or a suspension, and he's back in the side. Same as Jim Middleton said about Gavin Williams, I think, today. But no, I think Garvin's certainly obviously got a future at the club, but. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If you've got the shirt and you have a good game in it, you make yourself undroppable and give your manager a bit of a headache.
Yeah. I mean, certainly you've got Norris on the right, who's got a lot more running. Although, you know, I think we're yet to see the best of David Norris, as I think most people acknowledge. And Alan Quinn probably will come back on the left now that he's kind of over the little niggle he picked up at Crystal Palace. You do wonder, Garvin isn't a sort of, because he's a left-footed player, you wonder whether he might be used on the left. Do you think that's a possible option?
Possibly, but he's one of these players that likes to get about the pitch up and he gets up and down the middle and he's back tackling, he's forward trying to thread passes through and so on. So I don't know if you have his options by playing on the left, because you're only obviously playing inside rather than 360 degrees that he can if he's in the middle of the park.
Yeah. It's not his natural role, is it? But you do wonder whether it's sort of try and fit him into the side.
Yeah.
That it might be worth giving me a go in that position. Yeah.
And it's a right old jigsaw puzzle at the moment, because Norris obviously has taken up the spot on the right, which is when Walters has been displaced, and I thought he played quite well up front actually on Saturday. I must admit I'm certainly more of a fan of him on the right than I am up front, but
he took his goal very well.
Held up the defender and finished it nicely. But in other opportunities like that, you have seen him miss a few like that, so I don't know. I think there's all sorts of bits of jigsaw puzzle now that Jim McGilton's suddenly wondering how exactly they all fit together.
And yet he's also thinking about bringing in other players. I mean, obviously, David Nugent, he's confirmed that he has got an interest in Nugent after all.
That's one way to stop him scoring at Portman Road, is to sign him.
Well, that's true. Well, in all circumstances, you stop him scoring against us and probably stop scoring for him. I mean, he would presumably come in as, what, to play alongside Walters, presumably, at the moment.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the signs have been that Alan Lee's starting to return to form, the Irish Alan Lee,
not the Hong Kong friend. Yeah.
But he's shown signs that he's coming back to form. I thought he was full of a lot more running in the last few games than he was possibly sort of in the month or so after Christmas. He took his goal fairly well at Sheffield Wednesday, so maybe he's playing himself back into form. So between him and Walters, Pablo, potentially a new forward coming in again, there's headaches up front as well, and that's not withstanding Danny Haynes and Jordan Rhodes, who are possibly going to find themselves a bit more peripheral.
Yeah.
It's almost sounding an embarrassment of riches at Portman Road.
Well, it's the first time I can remember us having a squad. I mean, look at the bench on Saturday, which was, I think, Nick Colgan, Garvin, Quinn, I forget who, two other kind of very, David Wright was another one, I forget who the other one was. Pablo. So it was five experienced players. Whereas, you know, 2 years ago we'd have probably had, well, you know, when Joe Roy used to joke about it being a crash and that he needed to name a childminder on the bench and all that kind of stuff, because it was just academy lads, wasn't it, all the way through. I mean, when he gave Bowditch a debut at Norwich when he was, 16, well, you would really see a player of 16, maybe Rhodes because he's sort of exceptional and he's 18 now anyway, but getting on the bench, because we've got such a large number of senior players, which, you know, obviously shows how things have progressed in the last few months, really.
And even defensively, Richard Naylor's coming back for the last couple of games, and I must admit, hands up, I'd written him off a little bit, but he's come back and he's had a couple of cracking games, so he's forced his way back into the reckoning. So, yeah, at the back we've got choices. We've got Harding, Sito, David Wright, Fabian Milnes, all contesting the full-back spots. Got DeVos, Bruce, Naylor now, all squabbling over the centre-back position. So,
options
all over the park.
And again, he said he wants another centre-half, which I imagine is probably a kind of big DeVos-alike.
Yeah.
Really, if we lose DeVos, we haven't got another defender in that sort of 6'4". Aerial presence, kind of man who will win the ball a lot in the air against the likes of Stoke and
Stoke have hundreds of them, haven't they?
Well, Stoke
smuggle one of those back on Saturday evening.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Stoke are all 6'5", aren't they? It's the land of the giants, to quote Joe Royal once again. Coming on to Stoke, of course, that is where we're at next. What are your thoughts on
I'm looking forward to the champagne reception and tour of the ground. Sandwich tickets are affording us this week.
Right.
Lucky enough to work for a company that have access to these things, and myself and the Vulture and one or two other guests were actually sponsoring the match on behalf of my company. So we get
to pick the man of the match.
So
get your money on Sito being man of the match on Saturday.
Can you just pick someone like sort of who came on for the last 10 minutes?
I might.
Because everyone's been to games where the sponsors always pick
the worst player.
I didn't even know he was playing. You know, and everyone.
I'm going to see if I can get away with actually nominating one of us to be man of the match. So the announcement comes over at the Britannia Stadium and it says Phil Pritchard, man of the match.
You haven't got your mate Alan Lee coming along, have you?
So
you get Alan Lee to present the
award.
Yeah,
Alan would be good at that.
But yeah, I mean, other than the, you know, you're looking
other than the corporate side, the football's a bit of a side to it.
Yeah, you're looking forward to the menu and
this is the problem we have.
Quails.
This is what I was saying to Phil the other day. that's just a shame that, you know, it being Stoke City, they couldn't throw in a game of football as well, really. And we've got that pleasure.
I'll watch all the curtains when that starts.
Yeah, if we go home and the game starts.
So yeah, it's not pretty stuff, but it is, you have to hand it to Tony Pulis, extremely effective.
Yeah.
Very, very effective. Them and Watford, their masterclasses in winning ugly. I mean, Stoke have always been very solid at the back, and they've been one of these sides that since, because he was there, then he went to Plymouth for a season, then he came back, didn't he? So almost like he carried on some unfinished business. And they've always been a big, physical, well set outside defensively, and this year he's managed to add goals to it as well. I think they're the second highest scorers in the league, which Pulis pointed out they don't always get the credit for, which in fairness is a valid point, but they're certainly effective. Fuller up front, Liam Lawrence, they've got some players who can play this year as well as the
three players really. I think that Liam Lawrence, I can't see why he's not playing for a bigger championship club, certainly. I mean, he played for Sunderland, didn't he, the year they got promoted, and every time I've seen him he's had an excellent game. Mamadou Sidibé, I think, very good in the air. I think he's a really difficult player to mark. He's all elbows and arms, isn't he? And that kind of player who does very well in this division. And then you've got Fuller, who is a player, but for his injuries, probably would be playing at a higher level now. And that does kind of show. It shows that you can put a reasonable side together without spending fortunes. Spending too much money. Do you think we'll overcome? We've got a bit of a hoodoo at the Britannia.
We've actually unbeaten in the last couple. We drew 0-0 last season, and it was 2-2 the year before around January time. I think we might have been 2-0 up fairly early on, if I remember.
Yeah,
that was a little bit of a scratch side that we put out.
We had Aidan Collins and Scott Barron and various other people playing.
But it. Ironically, at the Victoria Ground, at their old place, we were nearly unbeatable. We used to win nearly every time. So it goes to show that Stoke of changing their ground has obviously affected us worse than it has them, I suppose. But
The last time we won there was the Victoria Ground, and I think Mauricio Tirico scored the winning goal.
He did indeed, I was there.
Going back into the dim 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah, I had the dubious honour of living up there at the time, so I remember it very well. And also the season before when we lost 3-1 and Scowcroft got his first goal for us.
Oh, was it really? That is going back into the dim, distant history.
Go on, Phil.
No, after you, Phil.
Sorry, this is slightly off subject. This is for the Vulture. Rumour has it that you lost some sort of football bet and had to get the Ipswich Town Tone logo tattooed in a discreet area. Is this true? From a Westbourne fan.
I did wonder how long it would take for this story to break. Yes, I can exclusively reveal. Cast your minds back to the 2000s playoff semi-final. The Town are heading out, as always, in the semi-final stage. And I decided to sell my soul to footballing Satan. And I would have to moderate... Being a family show, I will have to moderate my language. I did say, if we get to Wembley now, I will get my backside tattooed. At that moment, up pops Jim McGilton and completes his hat-trick, and we go on to win. And, of course, everyone around me in the North Stand heard this, and, well, they didn't hold me to it, but I went through with it because I kind of made this... I kind of made this bet with the footballing gods, you know, and had tempted fate. And so the Monday after we won in the playoff final, I went down the tattooist, and to this day, I won't get it out live on air now, but...
Especially now as a young lady.
I shall...
There's a picture of John Beck on your bottom.
There is the... That's what happened to him. No, there is in fact the Ipswich Town horse adorns my left buttock cheek, and that children is the story.
What size is it? Not the horse, the left buttock. No, what size is the horse?
The horse. I have to measure that.
Don't do it now.
I've never been asked that. I think it's around about 3 inches across.
I'd just like to tell everyone we've just been joined by a female naked virgin tonight who's just walked in, who works next door, young Faye. So say hello to everyone, Faye, because I'm not even sure you've got a microphone. That's it. So Faye's a Town fan. So is there something you wanted to say? Because I know you talked to me this afternoon about saying
I'm
something.
I'm an avid fan and just wanted to talk on behalf of some women.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Doing really well, and yeah. I don't know, sort of joining the discussion.
Do you see us meeting Stoke at the weekend? This kind of point that we're...
Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's... they're a difficult team. I thought we should have beaten them down here. I don't know what everyone else thought.
I thought we should have beaten them.
First 20 minutes, half an hour, certainly, but I think they did what they did best. And once they got that goal and they got it back to being 1-1, I think there was no way they was going to let us score another one. We had our chances in the first 20 minutes, half an hour, or whatever it was, to have got a goal or two up, and I think could have put the match to bed. But once they got that equaliser, they got their claws into the game and wouldn't let it go.
Yeah. We had our moment, didn't we? And we didn't take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key for us on Saturday is, I don't know if anyone saw the goals from their recent match against Southampton. All of them were headers off set pieces and corners. And if we can stand up to that kind of the aerial bombardment, which we know is very likely up there, and be solid at the back, then I think there's no reason why we can't get at least a point up there.
Mm. Mm. Do we have anything on the wires, bro?
Well, we had one that you had earlier from... how do you pronounce his name?
Guy Jakobsen.
Is he one of the Norwegian fellas? Is he? Right. Yeah, when was the last time we won 3 away games in a row?
Well, actually, he sent me that, and I actually knew that, which is extraordinary, because someone had told me. And it was only 2 years ago when we beat Southampton, Norwich, and...
How many years ago?
2, I believe. 2.
I thought you said 22.
Oh, I thought you said 23. I was like, quite.
And at which point you then responded, when was the last time we won? Because obviously beating Stoke would be the third away win in a row. He asked me when 4 was, and that was not actually that long ago either, which was, I've actually written this down. It was 2004 when we beat Walsall, the MK Dons, Rotherham and Gillingham. Apparently we've only ever achieved... This is my friend Sean Sullivan then sent me an email explaining all these details. We've only ever achieved 5 league wins away in a row in 1976-77. There you go.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, but they're all targets, aren't they? The records are there to be broken or played. anything else?
Broken if you've seen the Vultures record collection.
Yeah.
There's a few. I'll get to them. I'll let you handle them one at a time. This one's just for you, Phil. What happened to your stand on Saturday?
We weren't there.
You weren't there.
We haven't got fanzines to sell at the moment. Basically, we're in the midst of getting a new fanzine together. It's been slightly delayed because we were going to get it out for the Cardiff game, which has been postponed. So I think it'll be out whatever the next game is after that. It's something like the 16th or something along those lines.
Okay.
That's the plan now.
Right. You heard it there. Make sure he sticks to it.
15th, Charlton.
Yeah.
Rowena Mackey, Bywater's a bit shaky. Why didn't we play Supple?
Yeah.
His excuse doesn't cut the mustard, and also he's sitting in the reserves at the moment anyway. So.
Yeah, good point.
You're
a
fan of Supple, eh? You think he's done a job?
I was devastated when Alexander went, just because it takes a while for you to get to know the goalkeeper. Like, you know, it's a really important thing. And then he went, and we were all, like, really shocked. And then we thought, well, Supple, and then Bywater come in, and I just don't think it's... I don't really trust him, to be honest, at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Does anyone else agree, or is it just me? No, but when the ball comes near him, I just don't trust him.
He's not convinced me, put it that way. And I would have given Sutton a run out, and you're quite right.
The fans know him.
Yeah, and what he's doing now, all Sutton is doing, he's doing exactly the same as he was, except in Scotland.
Mm.
So, if he's gone up north to get games, and he's not getting games, well...
You wonder what the point.
Well,
doesn't make a lot of sense.
He would play, definitely. I spoke to someone at the club the other day, and they said if he's not going to play, then they'll bring him back. Although I don't know whether they can, under the... Cause the loan laws are so... rules are so complicated.
What kind of a loan has he got? Is it just a one-month loan, or is it to the end of the season?
Season? I think it's only half. I think you can only go to a foreign
association.
I don't know. Well, if he doesn't play, then I suspect he'd probably want to come back. But... I think what will happen, I mean, the first game, I could understand, first of all, Falkirk game, he didn't play, I could understand, because he only joined them on the Thursday, and they played on the Saturday at Rangers, so
yeah. You
could see why, because he'd been with the Irish under-21s. And apparently the other goalkeeper, I can't think of his name, but he did quite well. So then, you know, the manager of Falkirk looks at it and says, do I want to kind of reduce the confidence of our reserve goalkeeper, because their first choice goalkeeper is the Krull from Newcastle they've got on loan. Do you want to reduce his confidence by dropping him after he's played really well at Rangers? So he's got a bit of a dilemma, but from Town's perspective, the whole point of Supple going to Scotland is to get first team games, and if he's not, then what's the point?
The old possession is 9/10.
again,
as we came to, whoever's in the shirt and playing well makes it very hard for the manager to drop them.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, is loans. We're talking of loans with Suffolk and people going off on loan. The loan window is open, but from this weekend, players who go out on loan to Championship clubs certainly will be with those Championship clubs to the playoffs. Are you expecting any of the senior players to go out? Anybody?
I don't know, maybe not. I think Williams is certainly a contender. They're reading your little report on there. Those were the days earlier. I think he's certainly a contender. He's said he wants games. He's turned down a 1-year extension. So that's the hint of a not particularly happy bunny, you might think. Mm. He might be interested in getting out and getting a few games. One or two of the youngsters, Jordan Rhodes certainly. I mean, the football education he's been receiving over the last few years, he just needs first team experience now, wherever it may be. He went to Oxford and done well. If he can get a similar move to League Two or another top end conference side, then that'll work and only do him good.
Well, there is talk on this afternoon on one of the Rochdale message boards that's suggesting that they're interested in now. Whether there's anything in that at all, I don't know. And the other rumour I've heard is that Tommy Smith is going to go somewhere, but not quite sure where, although Stevens were interested earlier on in the transfer window. The other interesting one yesterday was that Hartlepool watched the game on Monday, you know, the reserve game on Monday, and their scout was seen in deep conversation with Andy Rowe, so I don't know who they were targeting, although I did notice that they failed to extend the loan of, and I can't think of his name now, the chap who used to play Celtic, then Villa, and is at Leeds.
Ilyich Chmielakowski.
No. He's English.
Alan Thompson.
They've lost Alan Thompson because he was on loan at Hartlepool. So you wonder whether they might look at someone like Williams. Although I suspect that Williams probably want to move somewhere higher up.
Yeah,
back to
so.
The Macedonian lad.
Tim.
The Macedonian lad.
His name.
Well, Felice Chmielakowski. He's a great signing.
Yeah.
So he's not just me. I think.
Why? Is no one else agreeing?
Oh, no.
Everyone absolutely agrees.
Everyone
is the story of the week. I have a fact about coming back to your. This is fantastically circular thing. I talked to my mate Macedonian Eagle, right? He does exist. He runs MacedonianFootball.com. Yeah. And he told me the other day that.
Felice Chmielakowski
has got the flag of every country he's played in tattooed on his back. Seriously?
Right.
That's an ambition for you to
win.
I'm wondering when he's going to get
the horse.
The country, not the club crest. When he's going to get a union flag. You'd wonder, actually, the other thing I'd wonder is, if he is, do you trust a tattooist to get the flag the right way up?
Exactly, yeah, because as we all know, the top left vertical strain has to be thicker than the
one below.
Right? Yeah.
That is true.
We could go for a St George's cross and play it safe.
Yeah, play it safe.
You'd have to get that wrong.
Or he could be completely left field and do one of them Cornish flags, the black with the white.
But we're in Suffolk, not Cornwall.
That's a really quite a pedant point, I think. For
standing on the wires, then Graham.
He could copy your buttock horse, couldn't he?
I could. I'll always lend him.
There's a thing about. There's a thing about the fanzine, but I'll read that out right at the end. Text from Anthony of Ipswich. Disappointed in Norwich, to be honest. Good work rate, but not much else at the moment. Anyone agree with this?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know. Expected more, I think. I don't know. It just seems to be a lack of attitude or something. It's just, especially last game, didn't really seem. Yeah.
I think the problem with Norris is that he's been the hype has gone on about it. He's obviously got something to live up to. And now Felice Chmielakowski has come in and done very well, very, very quickly, and everyone's trying to make the comparison between the two. But I did read, I can't remember where I read it now, but I think he was in the top three or the top four of assists in the Championship for the last three or four seasons, or every one out of the last four seasons he's been in the top however many for the last three, for three out of the four. So he's clearly got Championship pedigree, and I think he's going to be one of these ones that he's going to come good. He might be a bit more slower burner than our Macedonian friend.
He started off well.
Yeah, I think he's had one or two opportunities or moments when he's broken into the box well, and if someone had found him with a pass, he'd have probably scored and everyone would be saying, oh, he's done really well. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of created something from right midfield that perhaps we
not handy.
Then there's the not penalty that was not given at Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, I didn't go to the game, in fairness, but I've heard about it and I've seen the picture. There's a picture in the paper of the Sheffield Wednesday goalkeeper's got him in a rugby tackle, virtually.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if that's the incident, how can you not give that?
It was definitely a penalty. I mean, the only question there really was whether the referee was going to give a free kick against Norris or a penalty against the goalkeeper, and he, in the end, gave nothing. It was absolutely, you know.
In fairness, I think, I mean, Phil, you'll probably back me up. I think Norris has actually played better away from home.
I think,
yeah.
He's up and down.
Yeah.
And the flanks, which, you know, I think that him and Quinn have added that running in the midfield is what they've added. And Felice Szymanowski. They've both added, all three of them have added a bit of running to the midfield that we didn't have. And really, the fact that they're midfield players, whereas we've had the likes of Haynes and people playing on the flanks and Billy Clark. And I just don't think that, you know, you get the same.
No.
They're good players, but they're not midfield players, are they?
Can I just ask whilst we're here? I know I've come in late, but why does everyone think that Miller is out every time? Because I don't understand. Because I don't think he's that good.
He's had a quiet season, hasn't he? I think that's the thing everyone. That he's not popped up with the goals that he's got. He's not got involved perhaps as much as he should have done. But I think Saturday with Velucic Szymanowski alongside him, he's done.
Showberry now.
Yeah, now.
Doing
Velucic
Szymanowski wheelies now.
But you should have to rely on somebody else to carry you. You should be able to do it yourself.
He's playing him into the game. I think some players require other players around them. Do you know what I mean? Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I think that you look over the look around the core of team, you've got centre backs as a partnership, you've got your centre midfielders generally a partnership, and also your forwards. And it's maybe that Miller and Garvin weren't a match made in heaven.
Garvin is a good player in his own right, so he should be given the opportunity as well. So he was left out, of course, and then Miller was put in. So maybe Garvin should have a go now and see how he gets on. But I bet Miller will be back in.
Well, Miller actually played well, though, didn't he, on Saturday?
Yeah,
he
was pretty well. I mean, yeah, as we say, it's choices. There are choices to be made for Jimmy. He's got a lot of options in midfield, which he's not had for a long time.
Yeah,
no, it's good.
We have an email for talking about that. Terry Hearn doesn't say where from. Thought Miller was man of the match on Saturday. Pity he can't play like that every week.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so that pretty much backs
you. He's got a good engine on him. That's another thing, isn't it? That perhaps.
I just can't understand it. He's out every single week, and sometimes he plays okay, but not like outstanding. Mm. I never find him outstanding, and there are other players that should come on as opposed to him.
Yeah.
He's set himself a standard now, and if he can play to that standard every week, then everyone will be singing his praises.
Yeah,
and
now we know what he can do.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see whether they do, the two of them, carry on playing as they have done. I mean, because you've had these sort of players forming partnerships with other players. I was thinking Mauricio Tirico and Paul Mason, that had a fantastic relationship, didn't they, playing down that left side. Whereas perhaps neither of them were quite as good a players without the other one there. Often the way. I think the thing that Miller has really got to add to his game this season that he's not that's been there previously is goals, and he's not scored.
Yeah, he scored 15, 16, 17, 18, didn't he, in the season? Admittedly, all right, some of those are penalties, but they still count the same. So, yeah, and he's nowhere near that figure.
I mean, he was unlucky on Saturday because he did have a good chance. He sort of scuffed it to the goalkeeper, but he made up the ground to get to the ball.
Yeah.
I can't remember who laid it across to him. It was Walters or Lee or something.
I remember now. Yeah,
but he got made up the ground and broke from midfield in the manner of Velucci Szymanowski, and but you know just didn't get the touch. But
I think there's always going to be players that divide the support as well. Over the years, various players have attracted the critics, whereas others have been diehard supporters. And James Scowcroft was always one that has had his knockers in the past. And then Tommy Miller again in this day and age. And
I think he needs to prove himself for most of us as supporters. It's great that he's out there, but I think he needs to really show what he can do now. And obviously Saturday he did, but we need to see more of that and better for him to actually have, to get behind him more personally.
Ooh. And because he's got competition for places now, it's really got to bring the best out in you, otherwise you'll find yourself back on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we made the point, when myself and the Vulture were last on the show, that that's the first time that Magilton's been able to bring in players that he really wants to mould the side, and now Magilton's got these players, and he's got a core of probably 18 or so, I'd say, you could probably put in the side and not have too many question marks over that. It's really that's a test of his management skills now as to how he shapes that team, how he keeps the players happy, and how he gets the best results out of them.
And that pretty much wraps it up, I'm afraid, everyone, boys and girls. I'll quickly read this out because this applies to all of you who've got computers. Those Were the Days is in the running for Best Championship Fanzine, and Editor Phil is up for the Best Editor Gong. In the Best Writer category, Those Were the Days has four nominations, and they are Phil again, Gav, Regular Poet Nielski, I like Nielski's poems, and Message Ball Stalwart Old Git. So fans can register their votes for their favourite fanzines on the website. So that's twtd.co.uk. So everyone get on there and vote for Phil and his little family. Okay, I have to say thanks to all the emails we couldn't read out from Fodfather, Pabs and Lee, Mariner, Roy Keane and Matt, and from Phil.
Roy Keane?
Yeah, from both Phil's Vulture, a late edition as Faye flew in the door, and from me. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care, bye.
Bye.